Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Put down the roast beef sandwich. It's the second Friday of Lent.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. Was that you? Not you, Chris. Hope your Lent is proceeding well. We are very happy to have you with us here at Catholic Answers Live. Second hour today, Dr. Michael Barber will be here to explain what Catholics mean by sacred tradition. We often use the terms scripture and tradition. I think we know what scripture is, but what's tradition? We'll talk about that in the second hour. Our topic this hour, how to share Jesus with your friends. Maybe there's someone close to you with whom you would like to share your faith in Christ, but it's hard, and you could use some tips on how to proceed. Maybe you don't feel confident sharing Christ or have come up against some obstacle you would like help with. If so, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. This hour, we're asking about how to share Jesus with your friends or how to introduce your friends to Jesus. And I think you will find our guest, Chris Stefanik, to be a fantastic resource in that regard. I saw him recently. You were firing up crowds at One Life LA last time I saw you.
And oh, yeah.
You remember being there?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
It was a very joyful. No. Yeah, everybody fired up and joyful. And Chris's presentations and retreats have already inspired thousands of teens to deepen their love for Christ and his church. And he goes on and on doing those. A former youth director a director of youth and young adult ministry for the Archdiocese of Denver. Chris is the founder now and president of Real Life Catholic, a nonprofit organization dedicated to re-engaging a generation. Chris Stefanik, thank you so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers
so
Live.
Honored. So honored to be with you guys. I love what you're doing. Thanks for making me part of it today.
Well, I love what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about Real Life Catholic.
Yeah, the whole mission of Real Life Catholic is to re-propose that basic central message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to an era that I think has forgotten it. And not just young people. I know much of my career has been focused especially on youth, but we're focusing on all generations. And, I think we have a whole era that's forgotten why Christianity is so attractive. You know, if you take out that central message, that primary proclamation of the gospel, that God loves us, he's calling us to a saving relationship with himself, that he gave his life for us. When people forget that, they start to perceive Christianity, and especially Catholicism, as a bunch of rituals that they're not sure why they're keeping, as doctrines that have absolutely nothing to do with their lives, as a list of rules that, I'm not sure why I'll follow those rules. And 20, 30 years ago, I think nostalgia might have answered those questions. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Because grandma did. Why am I following these rules? Well, because my neighbors will think I'm crazy if I don't. I think we've entered a brave new world where those things don't keep people Catholic anymore. Where those who leave in college don't come back to baptize their kids because their neighborhood expects that of them anymore.
Right.
So now we have to go back to why we should be Christians in the first place. And frankly, this is something we should have been focusing on more centrally as a church all along. It's that relationship that God is calling us to. When people grasp that context for all the rest, it all makes sense. It's kind of like it cut me off any time here, so I get excited and I start rolling here. But it's like marriage. You remove the context of that love and relationship, all you got is rules and sacrifices and kids that drain all the life out of you. And why am I doing this again?
Yeah.
Put back that love. It's like, okay, I get it. This is why.
And do you think that I think that the Second Vatican Council in a certain way was the spark of the Holy Spirit to say, get back to this very, very basic message. I mean, when you think about the main document of the council, Lumen Gentium starts with Jesus Christ is the light of nations. It's re-proposing a very, very basic good news that we need to do.
Yeah, and it's a fight to keep that focus. Just like it's a fight in my marriage to keep the focus of relationship and love. I mean, you have kids and you have bills and you have different things you're fighting about, right? It takes a lot of effort in the midst of all the craziness of life to shove all that away and say, you know, I'm going to take my wife out to dinner, look across the table and tell her I love her. I mean, parents lose this focus with kids. You know, our kids are the most important things in our lives. Well, how often do we put everything aside and play, throw a ball with our kids, you know? So it's that simplicity. And I don't mean simplistic. Some people might hear this and say, oh, mm-hmm. it's Christianity 101, it's simplistic. No, there's a difference between simple and simplistic. Simple is often powerful. God himself is simple. I mean, you think of the Bible as far as the message of God to the world. It's 73 booklets. There's no large books in the Bible. We turn them into books, and I know nothing against theology, obviously. I love theology, right? But at the heart of it all, we lose that heart of it all, is a simple proclamation, an invitation from God. And I think as a church, it's a battle. I mean, it's a battle to remember that. We are in the midst of culture wars like never before. Yep. If we get too caught up in those and we let the world set our agenda and set everything that we talk about, then the world will start to see us as the church of issues, the church of politics, the church of a specific cause. And, you know, I don't want to say this and have a listener think, what, we're not supposed to fight for marriage or fight against abortion? No, that's not what I'm saying. Of course we got to engage in all those things. But as soon as the world stops seeing, first and foremost, oh, they're the church of the gospel.
Yeah.
We've lost.
How to introduce your friends to Jesus is our topic. Chris Stefanik is our guest. 888-318-7884 is the number. Please call if you have questions about how to do just that, how to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with your friends, family. 888-318-7884. Chris, let me challenge you with this, however. Okay, so the gospel, as you said, is very, very simple. It's good news. It's a story to tell you of something that happened that absolutely changes everything. But the world we live in is not a world where people are just innocently ready to receive that. They've already, in a way, they think they've heard it and they've moved on. They're past it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
I do.
So does that affect how we share the gospel?
No, they think they've heard it, but they haven't, as you know.
So how do we break through that, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Right.
They do think they've heard it. Okay, I've done that. I've filed that away. I'm on to other things. So how do you break through that?
You know, I think we have to keep going back to that primary message because we tend to not stay there. You know, when someone thinks they've been there and done that, when we engage them in a religious discussion, the first place they go is to the issues. The first place they go is to the fight that they want to have with us. And I think, you know, I love boxing. You know, I don't know if that's whatever.
Yeah, that is
myself.
Whatever. Do you really? Right? You box?
I don't recommend it to kids. Yeah, not professionally, obviously. My face wouldn't look quite so pretty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I spar and stuff. There's good spiritual lessons in it. It's the guys who stand toe-to-toe in that kill range. Man, their brains are mushed by the time they're 30 years old. You know, they're just whacking at each other. It's the guys who are smart who say, you know, I don't have to stand here and go toe-to-toe and exchange blows.
Right.
I can dodge something and give you a little jab. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to dodge past a lot of that. Like, hey, I know you're asking me, what about this? But I'm going to ask you, what about the fact that God's calling you in a relationship with him? You know, our big central event for Real Life Catholic is called Reboot Live. It's a multi-generational event where we focus on that core message of the gospel, inviting people to a relationship with Christ. And I had a cousin who went to Reboot with me. He was in the crowd. It was a real honor to have family there. I love my family. But, you know, afterwards he told me, you know, I'm going to start going to church again. He said, you know, I had never before thought of Catholicism as a relationship with God.
Oh, that's painful to hear that, Chris. I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
It hurts. This guy went to Catholic school for 12 years.
Right.
He went and got his confirmation. He was in these classes. You know, we think that people are hearing that, or we almost proceed into all the content and beauty of the faith with the presumption that they've got that.
Yeah, right.
They don't. They really don't.
Right.
And we waste our time. We waste our time in that kill zone, so to speak, you know, where we're exchanging blows if we spend too much time there at people. You know, I was at a Theology on Tap, Bishop Connolly. It's another story. He was talking about abortion, and the Theology on Tap is an event at a bar in Denver that I used to put on when I was director of youth ministry for the Archdiocese. A guy afterwards starts debating me about abortion. One of the patrons of the bar who was not there for our event. He was pretty unhappy about our event. And I realized I'm getting caught in the kill zone here, right? We're just going back and forth, exchanging blows. And I was being charitable, you know? But eventually the conversation went to a dark place, and he said, Chris, I think my mom should have aborted me.
Ooh.
Right? And I realized I'm trying to convince a guy that he should value a fetus when this guy has no idea that his own life has any inherent value. You know, we have these presumptions that we bring to the conversation. We think this person must get this, therefore I'll talk about that. Well, this person must get that God's calling them into a relationship, so then I'll talk about the rituals that come along with Catholicism. Or the person in front of me must understand that life has inherent value,
yeah.
So therefore I'll talk about why abortion's wrong. It's like, no. Let's take a step back. We are in a world where we're like the first Christians approaching the Romans. These people who are, you know, worse, people who we're walking through the middle of a jungle. These aren't people who are you know, formed philosophically or have a concept of a personal God even sometimes.
Yeah.
So the starting point has got to be presuming absolutely nothing. And God's calling you to a relationship. And exteriorly, like my cousin, they could look like any other Catholic out there. But that very basic groundwork's not been laid.
Chris Stefanik,
why should I care?
If that groundwork hasn't been laid, why should I care? Chris Stefanik is our guest today. How to introduce your friends to Jesus. 888-318-7884 is the number. Chris, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll go to some calls. We'll be right
back on
Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Broussard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serva. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus told his disciples, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." He then proceeded to fine-tune the requirements of the old law regarding anger toward one's brother, bringing a gift to the altar without being reconciled with one's brother, and holding a grudge with one's opponent. He was not concerned with outward observance only, as the scribes and Pharisees were, but with one's inner disposition. Heaven demanded more than the lip service they prided themselves on. This seemed to put him at odds with them more than anything else. He showed great patience with failures due to human weakness, which humble us, but he roundly condemned willful hypocrisy every time, because it is always accompanied by a prideful arrogance. We do well to remember that it is only his mercy that will ever justify us. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
How do you introduce your friends to Jesus? That is our topic. That's the question that we're trying to address this hour. And if you have questions about how to share the good news, Chris Stefanik is our guest, making the point that the good news is not simplistic, but it's very, very simple. It's about how much God loves you, and people need to hear it. And how do you share it? 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Chris, if it's all right with you, we'll go right to some calls.
Let's do it.
Katie in California, listening on Immaculate Radio, you are on with Chris Stefanik. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My question is this. This comes up over and over. In fact, you just mentioned it about his, I think you said nephew, but I've watched this for years. Our children going to Catholic school, being put into Catholic school from K to 12 and coming out not only with no real foundational knowledge of their faith, but not even attending Mass. I mean, it's this idea, and I heard this, that I believe you said, well, you know, Vatican II showed we have a relationship. I was right before Vatican II, and to tell you the truth, my parents were so knowledgeable in the faith. In the midst of that, they pulled us out of Catholic schools. My father said, this is dangerous. They're not teaching the Catholic faith anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it at the time. I have our children, and by the way, they're all adults. They all practice their faith. But the neighbor kids all went to Catholic schools. These kids, none of them go to Mass even.
Yeah.
And they come to me and asking me questions that would, I'm not kidding you, be fourth grade questions. And they want the truth. They're hungering for it. But why aren't we calling to account real teaching in our Catholic schools?
Amen. I mean, I would say that's a great question for everyone listening. Parents who are listening, why aren't we calling people to account? I think it's time to start complaining about this, because you're paying money for a Catholic education. And if you're hoping that one of the things you'll get for your money is a kid who actually practices the faith and it's not being taught, complain to your Catholic school. Now, again, it's all going to be taught in an evangelistic way, in a way that's not just delivering facts, but we want to bring them to a relationship with Jesus, where we're bringing kids on retreats, where we're trying to jolt them into experiences of God, where we're bringing them to experiences of prayer, you know. But a lot of times it's not even on the radar of school administration that the kids who are sitting there, you know, I have them for 4 years in Catholic high school, and they're not even thinking, how can I make these kids holy? How can I make these kids disciples? They're thinking, how can I make them good students? I think it's one of the biggest financial drains in the church today. And I'm sorry, you got me in a rant here. I mean, there's how much money do some of these schools, you know, drain out of Catholics' pockets who are investing in the future of the church, or so they think. And then the kids they're churning out could care less about the faith. So if that's what your school looks like, you know, we got to be careful in how we complain, because if we do it the wrong way, people will just, you know, they'll just close the door. But I think it's important that we complain about this, because a lot of times administration's clueless that this even really matters a whole lot to parents, because they just don't hear anything. So if you're a minority of that school with the parents who really care about the faith, please be a vocal minority. And thanks for bringing that problem up.
Thank you, Katie. I think it's at all levels of our Catholic life, though, Chris, isn't it? That this idea that sometimes institutions just persist because they're institutions, and they forget that at the root of this, there's a really basic mission. And so say I'm a Catholic college, and mm-hmm. I can teach philosophy and theology. I can do the whole deal. But if there's nothing about a Catholic college that communicates Christ to young people – it's a lot. I guess I'm a clanging gong, I might say.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, and it's true across the board, but I think it's especially true in educational institutions in the Catholic Church. There's a disproportionate amount of them that just don't care about making disciples. And you know, a lot of times they're well-intentioned people. You know, so we got to be patient in how we approach people. You know, sometimes there's people in administration and leadership who are teaching who themselves haven't experienced a personal conversion and are not living out a relationship with God. So that's important to keep that in mind. It's important to pray and fast for changing these things. But also, really, if you're spending money on your kid's Catholic education, you got the right to speak up about it. You have the right to complain.
Yep.
You know, but respectfully.
Yes, that's right. And let me throw one other thing out at you, though, Chris, because it seems like the way Katie asked the question and the way we're addressing the question now. There's a certain sense in which, you can get these schools that are they're Catholic in name, but they're very secularized, or they're very concerned like with test scores, much more so than with discipleship, as you said. But the other thing is also possible. I want to see where you fall down on this. The other thing where you can be very, very Catholic, but it's not – there's no love of Christ in it. There's a kind of like as you said, the ritual, the rules, all that. But where is the I'm here to communicate the love of Christ to children or to teenagers?
Sure. Now, in general, honestly, to be fair to places that are into or teaching solid doctrine and who make regular Mass a practice, it's usually because administration is convinced yeah. that a relationship with Jesus is important. That's usually the motive behind it. You know, now I would say to those places, be careful. Make sure you know that a lot of your kids don't get that. We get it, but we got to state the obvious. You know,
yeah.
It's like my own children. I got to state the obvious often. You know, I got to look at them in the eye and say, I love you very much. I'm proud of you. I can't say, hey, well, they know I'm bringing home food tonight. You know, I came home from that last trip and it was in Florida and it's, you know, it's January and it's cold out in Denver and, you know I love them. No, actually they don't. We have to state the obvious. So with those places, it's really important too on the flip side. And that's a good problem to have if you got one of those schools. Our catechesis has to be evangelistic. Or charismatic is another way to say that.
Yeah.
It has to be tied in constantly to relationship with Jesus Christ and never presuming that people are making that connection themselves. We have to make it for them. We have to make it obvious. We have to say it often. We have to show that in the way we pray. We have to be a church that's just dripping with that, you know, that message of the gospel, that God loves us and he's calling us to relationship with himself.
888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Pam in Blue Water, New Mexico, listening on EWTN. Pam, you are on with Chris Stefanik.
Hi.
How's it going, Pam?
Thanks for taking my call. My problem is that I've got a friend who says that all the apparitions of Mary, you know, all the apparitions, especially Fatima, They're apparitions of demons. She says they're all demons, and she's a Christian and a Protestant, and I don't know how to respond to this.
Well, you know, I would say you can know a tree by the fruit it bears, and there's been places where the apparition, the fruit has been conversions to Jesus Christ. The fruit of Our Lady appearing in Guadalupe was 8 million conversions to Catholic Christianity from many pagan religions that engaged in human sacrifice. Now, let's say this person obviously doesn't believe that Catholicism is the fullness of truth about Jesus. Well, we'd at least say, you know, if they're believing that Jesus is the Son of God, she would have to at least say it's getting them there, you know, from pagandom to that is a huge step. Obviously we disagree with her. We'd say it's the fullness of truth. But, you know, if that's the devil, man, he's doing some really stupid business. That would be a really bad strategy of the devil to do that. So we look at you can also point to the message of many of the apparitions. We talk about a gospel-centered message to come to Jesus, to repent of sin, to enter a relationship with God that you live out in your daily life. That simple message that you might hear in many a Protestant church. That's typically the message you'll read in most approved apparitions. It's a call to accept the Lordship of Jesus into our lives. So I think that maybe be a good response for your friend.
Thank you, Pam. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Anthony in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Anthony, we'll probably get your question in and then have to get Chris's answer on the other side. What's your question for Chris Stefanik?
Okay, that's all right. I'll ask the question, then I'll hang up. I have two questions I had to ask. One is about family members who actually were raised in the church and fall away from the church because of the beliefs that some of the things in the Bible are against other family members that may be gay or they don't agree with things like that. So they believe in a higher power, but they don't believe in the Catholic Church or Jesus or the Bible. And these are people who were brought up in the church and were baptized and confirmed. And the other question was just to touch on why there are no women priests. And I'll hang up and wait for my answer.
Anthony, can I just get something clarified from you real quick before you go?
Sure.
You're saying because of the church's teaching on sexual morality, they'll go to a more general faith, but they'll leave the Catholic Church. Is that...
There's actually no other faith. It's just basically they believe in a higher power, but nothing else.
Okay.
Great questions.
Got the questions, Anthony. Thanks so much for those. You are listening to Catholic Answers Live. Chris Stefanik is our guest today. How to introduce your friends to Jesus is the topic. 888-318-7884 is the number. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day, in conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a great resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic. So finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where religious doctrine is not tolerated, euthanasia is practiced widely, and the leader of the world is a benign-looking politician intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best. Whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live this second Friday of Lent. Welcome to all of those watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. We're happy to be streaming on those outposts today. And if you have a question, if you're watching and you just something comes to you and you'd like to ask Chris Stefanik, go ahead and type it in there. Or you can call, because we love to talk with you. But if you don't have access to a phone or it's not convenient at the moment, go ahead and type it in. If we can, we'll get to the question there. Chris Stefanik, when we went to the break, Anthony in Scranton, Pennsylvania, asked a couple questions. You want to recap the questions, or you want me to do that?
Great questions. The first one was about the church's teaching on people who are same-sex attracted, and they leave the faith or any faith at all because they learn the church's moral teaching and think, well, that I'm not buying it. You want me to just tackle that one first?
Yes.
Good. You know, I think it's important when we engage question and answer with people that we as apologists, as evangelists, keep our goal in mind. The goal isn't to be right, though we want to be right, right? The goal isn't to win an argument, though it's great to win an argument. The goal at the end of the discussion for a true catechist, apologist, evangelist, is to bring a person a step closer to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as part of that, we got to convey the truth. Now, the question that's usually behind that, you know, why does the church teach X, Y, or Z about sexual ethics, and the reason people leave faith over it is often because they hear the church's teaching and presume that that teaching is totally incompatible with the message of a God of love. So it's got to be answered. It's got to be answered with clarity and charity, because this is a huge block to the gospel. And now you see where I'm going there?
Yes.
I'm always thinking in terms of, I want to bring this person in a relationship with God. This is a serious block to the gospel for people. It's crucial when we answer the question about same-sex attraction to make it clear to people, right, that the church's teaching is not incongruous with the idea of a God who loves us. Now, here's where the conversation usually breaks down, and they presume that it's incompatible with the God of love. It breaks down at the issue of identity, right? The whole world would tell us that a sexual attraction is an identity. And if that's who you are, you have to act on that in order to actualize who you are, in order to be yourself. And that if anyone would teach you some moral teaching contrary to that, that says don't act on that, what they must be doing is hating who you are and telling you that you shouldn't actualize yourself. That sounds like a message of hate, right?
Yeah.
The Catholic teaching, the truth, is that a sexual attraction doesn't define who a person is. And a great story to point this out, how the church not only teaches that, but loves people who are same-sex attracted, if you're listening right now. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, back in the 1980s, AIDS broke out in the United States, and it was a climate of terror. You know, for anyone over 40, you remember that we thought, hey, if someone sneezes on me, I might get AIDS. We thought this might be the end of the world. We didn't know how the virus was spread just yet. In that climate of terror, Mother Teresa started the first AIDS hospice in New York City. So much for hating people that we're disagreeing with about a moral issue, right? Before any community was there, before any gay activist group was there, the Catholic Church was there loving and serving people. And Mother Teresa once said, when someone referred to the, quote, homosexuals she cared for, she said, do not call them homosexuals, call them children of God. Because all of us, regardless of any attraction you have, you're not primarily defined in terms of that attraction. That would be a reduction of a person. That's undignified to look at a person and say, I'm going to sum that person up in terms of who they're attracted to. The primary thing that sums us up at our core, who we are, is in relationship to the God who loves us and calls us to give our lives to him in love. We're children of God. That's who we are. You know, so the Catholic response to the gay movement really is primarily one of saying, no, I'm not going to reduce the person to an attraction. I'm going to uphold the dignity of the person. And obviously, if that's the worldview, where this attraction isn't you, but is, you know, something you experience, well, that's why the church can say whether someone's single and heterosexual or they are same-sex attracted, the church would say, you know, would never teach us, and Jesus never taught us, and the church, there's no saint who's ever taught us you're going to reach fulfillment as a person by sexually acting out, right?
Right.
We don't teach that because we're not primarily sexual beings. We're primarily human beings. We're children of a loving Father. So if that's the context for the conversation, I think people might open their ears to what we're saying. And if they disagree with us, at least it won't be a block to that to what we're going to say next, which is God loves you and calls you to a relationship with himself. Now, I know it's not even always easy to get that point across. It takes some studying to get that point across with any clarity, which is part of the reason we're, you know, culturally losing with this issue, because whoever gets the greatest soundbite argument is the person who wins nowadays. And if they just go to, well, it's not fair, then they tends to close the discussion, right? But we have to keep engaging that particular question. When we don't, we do people an injustice. I've seen people in youth ministry dodge around that question. And guys, I'm telling you, it's the elephant in the room. Every young people is wondering that. Right. Every young person's wondering this. But there's great resources. There's if you go to reallifecatholic.com, one of the videos that I made, we give out free videos. And our video section is about this issue. Another one about the idea of tolerance. You know, so you can share those videos. There's great resources on Catholic Answers. If you don't know how quite to say it, find the resource and share the link. We try to make evangelization easy for you. All right. So, but, you know, first and foremost, I think the Mother Teresa story is a good one. And to say, you know, because we disagree, it doesn't mean we hate a person. And, you know, that's not who that person is. It's an attraction they have. And we're called to fulfillment by following the law of God, not living out sexual attractions.
And now, okay, so now Anthony asked a second question, and I it seemed to me it was related. I don't have Anthony on the phone anymore to ask him, but he asked, why can't women be priests? And I think what he was suggesting with that was there's another thing that comes up as a block to hearing the gospel. Well, I'm not going to listen to those people because they don't have women priests.
Sure. Now, the gay rights issue and that whole agenda, that question comes up constantly, especially in work with young people. You know, it's kind of strange. I don't know why this shift has happened, but you know, after many years working with young people, I almost never hear the question anymore about women priests. It just doesn't come up on the. They just don't seem overly concerned about it. Maybe we've done a good job at explaining. I think the Catechism gives a very wonderful and simple answer. If you look up Catechism of the Catholic Church, you know, women priests, Google that, you'll find a good answer. But really, it's summed up by we follow the decision of Jesus. That's it. When it comes to sacraments, we don't manufacture those. We receive those from God. Now, we know that he did that. And that's why with the Eucharist, we don't make a birthday cake. We know he used bread and wine. We use bread and wine, right? Now, why he did that, that's a whole other question. But that was his decision, and he obviously loved women. You know, he wasn't afraid of bucking the system. He wasn't afraid of being politically incorrect back then. So we can't attribute his reasons to wanting to fit in with the times. Yeah, he was killed because he didn't really care what people thought about what he said. So the reason I think it's a sacramental reason. Now, again, this is of secondary importance. The first and most important thing is that was his decision, and we receive sacraments from God. We don't make those up ourselves. I think it was a sacramental reason that for every sacrament, you have some tangible symbol that reflects a spiritual reality. And the symbol affects what it symbolizes. So with the Eucharist, you have bread and wine. It symbolizes the body and blood of Christ. It becomes the very thing it symbolizes. It's this efficacious sign instituted by Christ to receive grace for those who cite the Baltimore Catechism. Amen. All right? With the priesthood, you have this really important symbol of the bridegroom of the church. That's not to say that men are more important, but they're standing in the person of Christ. And the tangible, the physical, it matters a lot to God. You know, so he chose men for that role of standing in the place of himself, of the bridegroom of the church, which is his bride. And we're all a big family in God, you know. But, I think that perhaps that question comes up less and less with young people because, more and more we see women in church leadership. It's often the women who are, from your own house to the DRA at your parish. So many people receive the faith from women that, that idea that women are unimportant or have no power in the church, it's just a joke for anyone who's actually experienced Catholicism.
Our topic today, how to introduce your friends to Jesus, the number 888-318-7884, Chris Stefanik, our guest. Chris, Peter on YouTube wrote the following in.
What's up, Peter on YouTube?
Peter on YouTube says, should we talk to people about faith every day? I don't know how. When I occasionally mention Christianity, my classmates are disgusted. I live in one of the most atheistic countries. What can I do? I really love God and his church, but I do not know how to talk to atheists about faith.
Oh, Peter, I love you, man. Thank you for bearing that cross. Now, often people will act more disgusted than they actually are. I gotta point that out. Sometimes they're rebellious teenagers who maybe hate their grandma or parents, so they're just acting out on that. If you're being yourself and you're sharing from a sincere place of joy, usually people will perceive at least this guy is sincere about who he is and what he's sharing with me, and they won't really reject it. I think of Penn and Teller. Penn is a famous atheist, magician, comedian, and there's a great quote I read from him. He said, people think that sharing your faith is mean or pushy. He said, how much do you have to hate someone to believe eternal life is possible and not tell them that? He said, I actually respect my Christian friends when they share the faith with me. So keep sharing from a gut level. Keep being who you are. Peter, we have a whole world that's constantly telling us, be who you are, be who you are. And I think the world's forgotten who the heck they are. Suddenly in that context, we Catholics are afraid to be who we are. Push back against that fear you're feeling and insist on being who you are in the most natural, relaxed way possible. If an atheist sneezes and you say, God bless you, and they get offended, just smile, because that's who you are, brother. Don't let them stop you. Don't let them stop, first and foremost, though, seeing the joy that it gives you, because they can reject you for a long time, but after a while, they're not going to reject your joy. You have something that everyone wants.
Chris Stefanik is our guest today on Catholic Answers Live. How to introduce your friends to Jesus is our topic. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more calls on Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, no breaks. Come on. Let's keep talking.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I'll get a fine break.
I didn't know I had to ask your permission, Chris. I didn't realize. Yeah, I think some people want us to take a break. We got to.
Okay, fine.
Your questions. Catholic Answers Live.
The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways. But the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if Jesus never existed? This is exactly the tack taken by some skeptics today, and make no mistake, the freewheeling and often fact-free nature of many internet sites has allowed this way of thinking called mythicism to spread far and wide. The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, attacking the dating and accuracy of the canonical gospels, and arguing the church left out other gospels that would have told a different story. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answer Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Catholic sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed before show how the Gospels are a true and accurate record of what our Savior said and did. Order your copy of Why You Can Trust the Gospels today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Chris Stefanik is our guest this hour, founder and president of Real Life Catholic, a nonprofit organization dedicated to re-engaging, well, I guess every generation with the basics of the gospel, or with the core truth of the gospel. Is that a fair way to say it, Chris? Or have
I think that's, yep, that's a good way to say it.
And if you want to know about Real Life
Primary
Catholic
Proclamation.
Yeah, where do you go?
Kerygma. RealLifeCatholic.com. Check out our See Chris Live tab. We're doing events at parishes all around the country where we train up outreach teams for 6 months leading up to the event, and it's for all ages. And we're hitting these events in small towns, and there's 1,000 people coming in, just packed wall to wall because of the outreach process, and we're seeing serious conversions happening every single week. So we'd be honored to partner with you on that, reallifecatholic.com.
Teresa in Fresno, California, listening on the Immaculate Heart Radio app. You are on with Chris Stefanik. What's your question?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. My question, I am a catechism teacher preparing children for their first communion, and I have a class right now of 13 children that are fourth grade and above. So they haven't had their first communion when they normally should have. So my problem is not that I'm not evangelizing as well as I can, but their parents are doing nothing. They don't go to Mass. They don't know how to pray their prayers. They don't even know how to hold a rosary.
Yeah.
And I'm getting frustrated. One student, I gave him a Mass journal. I said, this is for you to take to Mass when you go to Mass, and because I went to a dynamic Catholic event, and, you know, just see if God's talking to you and what God's saying. Oh, I don't go to Mass.
Yeah.
Well, you might,
yeah.
You know, if you do go, no, I'll never go to Mass. And I'm like, well, why are you here then? And
I'll never go to Mass.
I thought.
Yeah. First, I want to thank you for your patience. You know, because it takes patience. But listen, I've worked with confirmation students for years. I actually wrote a confirmation program called Chosen. And you know, after years of working with confirmation kids, and you see tons of these people who show up, drop their kids off, could care less about the faith. I brought up the example of Catholic schools, and there's some parents who want to fight to make sure their administration cares more about God. But there's some administration that's very holy and would say, yeah, but Chris, 99% of the parents dropping their kids off could care less, right? Here's a key thing we got to hold on to. Catechists, administrators, teachers, don't lose hope. You know, when you see a group of people in front of you who don't have faith, who could care less, please don't get frustrated. Please get excited. Go to the Acts of the Apostles. I mean, think of Acts chapter 2 and how they're in front of this group of people who don't know Jesus. Their first response wasn't frustration. It was excitement. Now, we have a very unique situation nowadays. See, because those people, obviously the apostles didn't expect them to know Jesus Christ and didn't expect them to have a relationship with Jesus. We have people showing up for catechism classes and sitting in Catholic schools, and sometimes even showing up for Mass, who could care less. It's very strange. But we should, and as strange as that is, let's never get frustrated. God, give us the grace to get excited. You know, Pope Francis says to go to the fringes, right? Well, shoot, after years of working in youth ministry and confirmation classes, I'm thinking, I don't have to go out and look outside the doors of my church to find the fringes. Shoot, I don't have to go outside the church very far to maybe get martyred. I'll have kids sitting in front of me who can't stand me just because I'm calling them to follow Jesus Christ, you know? But that's also an opportunity like we might never have again. If they're coming out of nostalgia now, again, in 20, 30 years, they might not be. So we have a prime opportunity to evangelize. We will see a certain percentage of these people who could care less stay Catholic for life if we don't blow that opportunity. You know, but we have to stay patient. We have to keep showing our joy. We have to form relationships with these people and with their parents. You know, often relationships are the most time-consuming, painful ways that conversions happen because we prefer to just hang out with people who think exactly like us. But try to befriend these families. Try to befriend the parents of kids, school administrators who are dropping your kids off at school, and engage the long, painful road to conversion. You know, I'd also say when it comes to whether schools or catechism classes, make sure there's evangelistic components like retreats that you bring these people on. I know third and fourth graders is difficult, but in high schools, you know, there's great speakers you could bring in. There's retreats you could bring on. There's Steubenville conferences. If you Google that, I think it's one of the most effective evangelistic outreach tools out there today for 3-day retreats for young people. And often kids show up, they had to go. They didn't want to be there. But, hey, I love those kinds of kids sitting out there, right? That's my target audience. I have to be here. Yes. Awesome.
And, you know, Chris, Teresa, thanks for so much for that call. I think that's a really important point, actually. We got to hit that side of it, too. But I have heard, and I wonder if you can confirm this for me, that one of the things that's most indicative of whether a teenager is going to develop a relationship with Christ is whether they got away and went to a retreat at some point, whether they got away and went to some, you know, got out of their everyday setting and spent time experiencing the church and Christ.
I mean, the biggest factor is the engagement level of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that influence that they're living with every day, I still see families convert because you got that one person. You move that one heart closer to God. That kid, you know, the parent let him go because the school made you know, it's a mandatory retreat where we focus on the basic message of the gospel, right? But the kid comes home and he's glowing. Parent turns the light out. Where's that nightlight coming from? Oh, it's my kid. My kid's what's going on? You know, and they're drawn by the joy and hope and purpose that their child's found. You know, so yeah, statistically the biggest factor is whether or not mom or dad go. But you know what? The grace of God works around that, obviously. And even if mom and dad aren't engaged, you engage that kid, it can convert the whole family.
888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Brian in Ohio, listening on 870 AM. Brian, you are on with Chris Stefanik. What's your question?
Hi, Chris. And,
how's it going, Brian?
For taking my call.
Yeah,
good, good. My concern is along the lines of somebody who's in college.
Well, wait, is it just me or can we not hear his?
I can't hear him now.
Brian, let's give it a try. You can try to speak directly into the phone. We'll see if we can hear you one more time. It's not working. Hang on.
Hello.
Oh, go ahead, Brian. Real quick, your question.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can, yes. Can you give Chris your question?
It's sort of along the line of some of the more recent callers where, you know, modern Catholics seem to rely on institutions like CCD or Catholic schools, but they, you know, we have the adults even now where they don't really know the faith and therefore they don't know Jesus. They more or less know, you know, rituals and maybe some obligations, things like that. And, you know, I learned my faith from my mother and my grandmother, as you talked about. But you know, I have a hard time introducing Jesus even within my own married family and friends and things like that. Hopefully my question came along clearly.
Yes, it did. Thank you.
So you said they don't know the faith, therefore they don't know Jesus. I think very often it's the case that they don't know Jesus, therefore they don't really care about the faith, even if they kind of know it. You know, and I think it's, again, this stuff, to be an effective evangelist, it has to just drip from who we are. You know, we have to bring up the name of Jesus in conversation as if he's an intimate friend of ours. That doesn't mean we have to force things or be awkward. Frankly, a lot of us feel like we're forcing things when we're not bringing up his name, because he's always in our minds, always in our hearts. I would just encourage the average Catholic, stop repressing yourself. Just start being who you are. You know, we were always who we were throughout Catholic history. I mean, I'm half Irish, right? The traditional greeting in Ireland was God and Mary be upon you, Dies Mergulit, until maybe the 1950s, from the time of St. Patrick. I'm half Slovak. Bogvolini bu Jesus Christus, praise be Jesus Christ, is how you said hi. You know, this is just dripped from our mouths, from our interactions. It was ingrained in us. It's still ingrained in us, but for that percentage of Catholics, I know we're kind of small, kind of a minority, who like, this is the most important thing in our lives. Can we please just be ourselves? Just stop hiding it. Just stop worrying about the response you're going to get to that constantly. Stop thinking you're going to offend people all the time, because, again, if you're yourself in a way that's joyful, that's not giving into frustrations of people who aren't as far along as you are, in a way that just showing, like, I'm just in love with Jesus. He's my friend. You know, if someone's having a hard day, it just comes right off the top of your head. You know, I'm going to pray for you. Even if they don't believe, you know, if they act offended to that, first of all, that's their issue. You know, but second of all, you planted a thought about God into their hearts and mind, and they're not going to forget that, you know. So with your family members, be patient, but just keep being yourself, man. And just keep saying the name of Jesus in casual conversation, you know, in a way that's not forced, but just natural.
Thank you, Brian. I don't think we can get Brian back. Thank you, Brian, very much. We go to Kurt in Jamesville, Wisconsin, listening on the Ave Maria app. Kurt, if you could kind of phrase your question succinctly, then I think we can get an answer from Chris before the end of the program.
I will. I think we've lost our Catholic identity in that we have the body and blood and the real presence of Jesus. And I don't think a lot of Catholics know or believe this or haven't been taught this.
Yeah. Agreed. You know, we have a generation of poor catechesis and a generation of people who, again, when they hear words like body, blood, soul, divinity, or transubstantiation, think, how is this relevant to my life? You know, we have to grab people's hearts and show them that this is the love that you're made for. That's how it's relevant to your life. And again, this is the kerygma, we can call it, that primary proclamation of the gospel. It has to infuse every teaching that we give. You know, so why should someone care about transubstantiation? We go back to, well, because our hearts are made for something more. What's that something more? We're hungering for something. What's that something we're hungering for? It's for love. Where do we experience that love? Body, blood, soul, divinity. You know, I think there's, so we have a generation of people who have often forgotten to care about these things. And that's the greatest apologetic of all. Why should I care? We got to answer that question.
And I should care because Christ is the love of God made present.
Amen. Amen. He's what I'm made for.
Chris Stefanik, the founder and president of Real Life Catholic, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic.
What a blessing. I wish I could be here the second hour.
Yeah,
I got the guy coming on. I'm staying.
All right, maybe we can bump him. I don't know. Can we bump? We'll see. Michael right. Barber. He's tough, though.
Oh,
I don't wanna,
fine. Let him stay.
Next hour, what is tradition here on Catholic Answers Live? Thanks for joining us this hour. What is tradition? Well, we know what Scripture is. And we know that tradition is also part of the revelation. But can we say for a fact, what is tradition? That's what we're going to be talking about next hour. Again, Chris Stefanik, thanks. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back, actually, with more on Catholic Answers Live.